I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. To riff on a slogan from the gay rights movement, it's here, it's warm, get used to it. If there were a political rallying cry of all the world's climate scientists, that might be it. And the message is driven home stronger than ever today in the latest massive report on climate science from the UN. The report says that the warming of the world's climate system over the past half century or so is unequivocal and in many ways unprecedented in human history. You can find a summary of the report at PRI.org. It warns of changes in rainfall and drought patterns, rising sea levels, significant changes in the oceans, and all the disruptions we and others have been reporting on for years, but with a level of certainty beyond anything scientists have been able to establish before. The report also says that the role of humans in all of that is clear. And yet, millions of people around the world, and especially here in the U.S., continue to express skepticism, even denial that it's happening. So what's up with that? Well, Peter Sandman is a risk communication specialist who founded the Environmental Communication Research Project at Rutgers University. So tell us what's going on psychologically here.
Well, you start out with the very word denial, and I think you have to divide it into three kinds of denial. The kind that we tend to talk about most is what I call strategic denial, people who deny climate change because it's in their self-interest to deny climate change. They're the ones that are sort of rightly called denialists. Denial is their stock in trade. The second group is the people whose denial is intellectual. This is the 5% or so of genuine experts who think the other 95% are wrong.
So you said the third group of your three categories is the most interesting. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, I think they're by far the most interesting. They're denying climate change because they can't bear the idea that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. They are genuinely in denial in the same way that a woman is reluctant to check her breasts for breast cancer. She doesn't want to find a lump. And there are people genuinely in denial about climate change.
And why is that? Because they're scared?
Well, it has two main bases. One of them is something called cognitive dissonance. People will be in denial when a finding conflicts with something they know or think they know, you know, with a deeply held value. If that finding creates cognitive dissonance, if that finding makes you uncomfortable, you find ways to reject it.
It seems, though, that there's something different with climate change. I mean, we accept now, for example, that smoking cigarettes causes cancer, even though science is about 95% sure that that's the case. So why is climate change different?
Well, I'm not sure it is. It's not hard to find people who don't buy that science either. And it took, you know, it's taken two generations since we started getting good data that smoking was bad for health, you know, to make the progress we've made. So, I think you can make a very good case that climate change is slowly climbing that curve.
Take us back to that other group that you were describing, the strategic denialists, lobbyists. I mean, how do they feed the denial and influence of people who just don't want to hear about it?
So, there are people strategically working to keep the people in psychological denial, to keep them in denial.
Well, those people do have huge influence. What about scientists, politicians? What should they be doing? And journalists?
Well, I think what they should be doing is understanding the psychology of denial and speaking in ways that people in denial are better able to hear.
Okay, so just imagine you're writing the next speech on climate change for President Obama. What's the two lines you want to hear?
Yeah, I would like to hear President Obama say, you know, the amazing technological advances of the last 100 years that have given us the car and given us the mall have done wonderful things for the society. And now, belatedly, we are coming to grips with the fact that they had a downside. But now it's getting so serious, it's getting so threatening, we're having to notice that things we love are killing us.
Peter Sandman, a risk communication specialist and founder of the Environmental Communication Research Program at Rutgers University. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.